through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
Hour number three of the Tom, Jake, and Stacy show. We are joined on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline by Danny O'Neill.
Yay!
Star of the Danny and Gallant program. Danny, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Of course. Yeah, man. Was that introduction satisfactory, or should we do better next time?
We can do it again.
No. That was great.
Okay.
Very rarely hear my last name get accented both syllables of it. So I thought that was pretty phenomenal. small feat.
Question we've been batting around, Danny, which is get it batting around, baseball related.
Oh, but I can't make puns. Okay.
No, just me.
Okay.
Stupid metaphors. The thing that we're most excited about with the Mariners is mostly over guys who are not going to be with the team in April. Does that feel strange down there, or what's the biggest thing going on?
I would actually say that this year feels much more normal in that the players that you're focused on are actually going to be part of the future. Last year it was strange because it was this transitional year where you had guys like Edwin Encarnacion was down here and Jay Bruce. There were a number of players that they had that you knew weren't going to be with the team long term. You kind of honestly didn't expect them to finish the year, which neither Bruce nor Encarnacion did. And there was a feeling that they had made a directional turn as a franchise, but it hadn't caught up to the major league level yet. And this year, it feels increasingly like, look, Seager's here, and Seager's going to be your starting third baseman. He's probably not a long-term fit for this team. But it seems like outside of that, most of the guys that we're watching and talking about have a chance or figure to be part of the team over these next couple of years. And yes, some of the more prominent prospects, Logan Gilbert pitched today and looked pretty good. You have both Kelnick and Julio Rodriguez that everybody talks about. None of those guys are going to be in the big leagues when the season starts. In fact, I don't think we'll see Julio at all this year. Kelnick could get up and maybe Gilbert. But you're at least seeing sort of the shape of the finished product, whereas last year I felt it was mostly faith in what the finished product would be. You really weren't seeing the guys that they were talking about.
Danny, who has been the most striking player that you guys have interacted with in spring training so far? I'm talking about from what you've seen onto the field, the interactions that you have had to what the coaches and the scouts and everybody saying about these individual players. Who is the player that has struck you the most?
Julio Rodriguez. He's huge. And he's 19 years old, so he's still growing. The fact, just how he looks, and then at 19 years old, I think what came across in the interview when we talked to him is the excitement that he has. And he talked about going back to when he signed with the Mariners, because he's coming out of the Dominican Republic. He's signing at 16 years old. He talked about kind of that being the first step toward his dream. And that idea that you can see this excitement he has, that here's this guy who is on a path toward what he's been dreaming about, and he's got just this excitement. And it was really I felt like there was a tangible sort of spark. I felt better after talking to him, where you're just like, man, the world is a wonderful place. Like, you can grow up in a place like the Dominican Republic, and you love playing this game, and it starts you on this path, and now he's going up to the Cheesecake Factory with Jared Kelnick and playing Fortnite. Man, he could be an all-star 3 years from now. I found myself very taken with that storyline, and then just to watch him, he is a really impressive-looking athlete and has a pretty engaging personality.
Is there anyone, I know it's really early in Cactus League play, but is there anyone on the field who will break camp with the team, who was on the team last year, who looks like they've taken even just a small step forward, or maybe they just look great physically?
Yeah, I'd watch Malik Smith. I think that Malik has an opportunity to really turn things around. He had a tough year last year. He had a really difficult year. And not just hitting, he had a tough year defensively where the ball just wasn't sticking in his glove. I think he's a pretty good player, and I think he's worked a lot with they have Franklin Gutierrez, Ichiro, as well as Mike Cameron down here, which is very fun. Mike Cameron each day finds a new way to sing Ichiro's name. It's fantastic.
Sing?
Like, it's he sings it full verse, repeats it.
Like, how does he sing it?
Usually laughs. I'm not going to sing.
Come on,
I can't sing. But each day, I think today was Ichi, 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 Suzuki. each day there's a performance. I think Malik has a chance. I also, Stacey, you haven't asked, but I picked out your favorite player for you.
Yeah, who is it?
Evan White.
That's going to be my favorite player?
Yes.
Why?
You know why?
Yes. No, is it because he loves Meghan Markle?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with Meghan Markle.
Okay.
But it does have something to do with something you have quite a bit of enthusiasm for. Each week, he has people over to his house to watch The Bachelor.
Oh, my God. I love it.
They have watch parties. And we asked Kyle Lewis about it today, and Kyle said, yeah, I think that's because Evan's wife is into it. So, I've found that most people who, like, oh, my wife's into it, like, they know an awful lot about the show for just, quote, unquote, my wife being into it.
That's what Jake tries to say about Brooke.
Yeah, I got my hand raised on that one. That is definitely something that, you know, I would pass off and say, well, you know, it's something that Brooke watches, but I'm definitely into it as much as she is.
Danny, I love this scouting report.
Yeah, so he's going to be someone that you'll be able to talk to. He's kind of become, and talking to the different people, he's one of the central figures in this group of players that is coming up that played at Arkansas together last year. And I would consider it the first wave of the rebuilt Mariners. It's Evan White. It's Kyle Lewis. Jake Fraley's part of that group. That these are guys who have played together. Kelenic had a little bit of overlap. He was up at Arkansas last year, but he wasn't there the whole year with these guys. But this first wave, and I think Evan White was one of the sort of the cornerstones of that group. And he's almost certainly going to break camp with the Mariners. He signed a 6-year contract despite the fact that he's never played above double A. So I think that, Tom, when you talk about that, we are excited about these guys that we might not see for the first part of the year, but Kyle Lewis is going to be there, and so is Evan White. And those are two guys that are really potentially very important players for this franchise going forward.
Talking to Danny O'Neill, he's down in Peoria, Mariners spring training camp. You know, Danny, you've covered a lot of different teams, football, basketball, etc. How much do you think, while we're talking about this sort of good mood, good vibes that's going on down there, you know, a lot of people are picking this team to win even less games than they did last year. And losing can do a lot of things, even to a team that's rebuilding or even to the most optimistic team. How do you think their personality will factor in against maybe losing a lot of games?
You're absolutely right that it's easy to have chemistry when you haven't lost anything yet. When it's all just the positive mojo and, hey, here we are, this is going to be the next step. I think that because this group isn't necessarily expected to win, that it's going to be a little bit different. I think losses weigh on a team when the team goes into the year and their bosses go into the year more specifically feeling that, hey, you know what? Like, we should win 90 to 95 games this year. And then all of a sudden you're looking at a losing record. And people, the disappointment of the franchise starts to weigh on players. The thing to watch this year with this team is going to be, do they get better? They should have a better record the second half of the season than they do the first half of the season. Mm. This isn't going to be a team that starts shedding parts. This isn't a team that's, if anything, they should improve as players get more experience over the course of the year. So I think that's something to watch. The point you made, Tom, about losses doing something, that was always the argument against rebuilding, which is you create a culture that is built around losing and that where losing becomes normal, and then you have to dig out of that hole too. And that's always been an argument why some teams didn't want to do what the Astros did 7 or 8 years ago when they stripped it down, because they're like, the cost is too high, and you create another barrier for yourself to get good because you have to get guys used to not being bad. You have to build the expectations of winning. I actually think because this group is, everybody's kind of on the same baseball clock for the most part. Seager isn't, Malik Smith really isn't, but guys you just mentioned, Kyle Lewis, Evan White, like, they're trying to get to the big leagues, establish themselves in the big leagues, make a name and make a career. And I think that makes it, the fact that they're all on that same process will make it easier for them to support each other through, like, look, I fully expect this team to be capable. If they lose 100 games, that shouldn't shock anybody and make them feel like, oh my gosh, this project is doomed. That could happen because they're going to be really young.
Danny, I'm going to shift gears here for a second. I want to get your thoughts on something that we've talked about at length today. Jadeveon Clowney and the conversation around him, and obviously there's new quotes about him talking about this situation and saying that he would like to be back in Seattle, but he's open to other options. We've heard Pete, we've heard John talk about him and all of that. How imperative is it for the Seahawks to get Clowney back to Seattle, or is it not?
It's not so imperative that they have to take a blank check to it. That's what I would say. And the reason it's not is because they weren't a good defense last year. If he was a free agent and they were a team when he played that looked like a top 10 unit even, I think I would feel much differently. I think they're better if they get him back. I think it's harder for them to be good and to improve if they lose him. But if you're talking about spending $23 million a year on him, I don't know if that leaves you, and I actually don't think it leaves you room to get better, which you clearly need to do. You need to get Clowney and somebody. And if Clowney's price is going to be prohibitive about you getting him back, I think you need to pursue alternatives.
Danny, my question really is kind of the part B of that. What kind of alternatives do you pursue? Because I think I just worry, are you going to get the caliber of player that you might get with Clowney if you go out? I just find it rare that a team can do what the Packers did, which is you get both the Smiths and they both work out and they look great, Preston and Za'Darius Smith. And, you know, even Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill for Seattle a while ago. I think that just doesn't happen often, and obviously they can try to do it, but are you then saying, well, maybe they lean into the draft? And what would be your plan if you were a general manager and Clowney didn't end up here?
Would be to aggressively explore who I might be able to get in a trade. With four picks in the first three rounds, you've got some ammunition in that regard. The second step would be, okay, if I don't get Clowney, because you're not going to sign a free agent that people will look at and say, like, oh my gosh, they signed a better free agent than Clowney. Like, no, you're not going to do that because Clowney's considered one of the best free agents. And if he's too expensive for you, well, getting a less expensive guy, you're not going to find a better one that's less expensive, at least initially. It doesn't mean the ultimate result won't be better, but I think that you would have to look at trying to get two or three experienced pass rushers in here. Whether it's Robert Quinn is someone that's interesting. He's 30 years old. He's been available before, though, and Seattle hasn't gone aggressively after him. So maybe that's not the right kind of guy. Jason Pierre-Paul is someone that certainly could be available. He can't be the primary addition you make. If you got Clowney and added Jason Pierre-Paul and then got some draft picks as well to address your edge rush or your front seven, I'd be excited about that. If you lose Clowney, Jason Pierre-Paul, in my mind, can't be the primary pass rush addition you have. He has to be kind of the second one, but that would be a player that would be exciting to me. We don't really know who might be on the trade block. I know that Jake had brought up Von Miller, which got me looking and thinking, like, if you had the ability to
come
get
on,
him,
baby,
that would be fantastic. I think the complication there is if Miller went in a trade, he's probably going to want a new contract. He's got 2 years left on his deal. Now he can't demand a new contract. He would want to be, I don't think he's a player I would want to sink more resources into. I wouldn't want to extend him, but that would be interesting. If you could acquire him for a pick, I think that'd be great. Pass rush is one of the most valuable traits. That speed edge rusher is one of the most valuable roles, which is why Clowney's going to command what he very well could command. If you ended up with players who produced like Averill and Bennett did in place of Clowney, that'd be great. I just don't know if you can count on doing that. But the last time Seattle went shopping for that, they certainly did find great value.
Danny, did I hear right today? Did you do play-by-play either with or in place of Rick and Aaron and all those guys with the Mariners
No.
today? You didn't.
No, dear God, no. No one would that would be wished upon anyone. It's funny that you bring that up because Dave Sims and Gary Hill were nice enough to invite Paul and I into the booth for the fourth inning. When Jess had initially explained to us So up until about, I don't know, about 7 a.m. this morning, I thought we were going to call the inning, and I was petrified. honest to God. And it was one of those things where I'm like, look, I'm not afraid. Like, I'm not gonna take the pitch and say, like, no, I'd rather not do it. I'll get in there, but I was just fully prepared to butcher. Because not only is it doing play-by-play in baseball, which is tough, and finding a rhythm and doing that is unbelievably hard, but it's going to be doing it with guys in a split squad game. Dear Lord, there's going to be 15 people that are out there that I never even heard of.
Danny, that's why it would have been great, Danny. It would have been phenomenal. Not for you, for us.
Danny. Could you give us like a quick snippet of what that could sound like? A little bit of Danny O'Neill doing play-by-play live?
And here is somebody named Marmalade Host. He steps in. Hey, there's this character, Beattie, that's out there. I'm not really sure if he's projected to be part of the Giants rotation or not. I certainly haven't heard much of him, but was that off speed? I don't know. Whatever pitch it was, like, Marmalade was fairly terrible. He was taking it. It looked like he was fooled. And, yeah, I think that was off speed. And Beattie's into the windup again, and he swung on his foul. No, that was just inside the line. I'm sorry. It was a foul ball.
All right, that's enough. I've heard enough.
Paul, don't you think it's going great in the mornings? Like, they've really tried something out with us, and it's sure been great down here to see Julio Rodriguez.
Cut him off.
Marmalade Host is back in. Sorry, Paul. I didn't give you a chance.
My favorite thing is all the apologies. Nope, sorry, my mistake. That was indeed in fair territory.
I opened Pandora's box. Thank you, Danny.
It.
You're the man.
Thank you, Danny.
Talk to you guys soon.
Danny O'Neill on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline. Now, what he was saying there about waking up and thinking he was actually going, like, that was his assignment for the day. Can you imagine? Oh. Like, I talked about anxiety attacks before. Can you imagine the anxiety of being asked to go on the air and call an actual inning of baseball?
But if it's not my job, I'm not thinking that people are expecting me to nail it. I think the point is you come on and you're kind of funny.
People that are listening to that, they are diehards, and they don't want anybody messing around.
It's not meant to be like a
open night.
Yeah, like a parody.
Open mic night, calling a game.
Yeah.
I would have serious cold sweats. But the funny thing is that as Danny, you know, all joking aside, like, that would be a really hard thing because to the naked eye and someone who doesn't consistently watch baseball at that level, I mean, it'd be really hard to determine whether curveball, off-speed pitch, fastball, I mean.
He pitched it to him. He missed it.
Man.
Yeah, would you try to mimic an actual broadcaster?
No,
or would
absolutely not. No.
I mean,
slider. In
I think I lean into. I'm going to lean into being very bad at it.
You got to tell stories in between pitches, and then segue from your story into the pitch. Like, you know, I was over at the store yesterday. Ball's blowing away. Count to 1-0.
You know what, Curtis?
And they had cabbage, 2-for-1. So I went and looked at it. Here's Tim Lopes. And
you just say Tim Lopes?
Yeah,
he's an actual player.
Yeah, no, I know. I'd be great at it. Yeah, he's been wonderful. Hit two doubles.
Hey, guys, what are the chances that the Giants could ruin everything with Jadeveon Clowney?
I would be so angry at your Giants if they took Clowney. Like, what would they do with him?
Well,
yeah, right. What would they do with him?
I'd be so furious. If Clowney signed for $1 million more, went to the New York Giants, and essentially he's just wasted there, I would be so mad at the Giants.
Clowney said he wants to play for a contender. Is he really going to play with the Giants?
He did say that. Here's the thing, okay? These media that are floating the stuff out about the Giants every couple of hours, I've seen Tom Brady's name linked to them. Can you imagine them getting in a room and saying, okay, we're going to let Eli Manning go so we can let this Jones kid develop? And then we go out and we get Tom Brady and Jadeveon Clowney. What sense does that make? None. Tim, to me, this is just the Giants bullying these reporters and, like, pulling their strings a little bit just to try to get their name out there.
Well, maybe, but I think it's also that they genuinely hope that, well, can we convince him we're a contender? If we have the pocketbook to do it, the deep pockets to do it, then
I don't know
maybe there's a number
don't.
That he'll take.
Are you talking about Clowney or Brady?
I was talking about Clowney. Okay. Well, either. I mean, I think the Giants are up there with cap space. Usually bad teams are.
If they got Tom Brady, it wouldn't be so foolish to go after Clowney.
Yeah.
Would they be a contender at that point? Would any team
if you're
that gets
a contender
Brady
if you
a
get
contender?
Tom Brady? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have to, you absolutely have to feel that way. And if Tom Brady is going to waste his time in New York at all, like you would think that he wouldn't just sit there and waste it in terms of a year where he's just going to play. He wants to play for a contender. He wants to play for a team that's going to go after a playoff spot. And so you would have to feel good if you're a Giants fan at that point if Tom Brady's deeming that a playoff-worthy situation. So, I mean, maybe if they got Clowney and Brady, that would be an interesting spot. But I just, man, I would just be so
Hear me out.
Mad.
Titans sign Brady and Clowney.
Because
chaos.
Just because of things?
Yeah.
Hey, I want to do this quick one just before we get to some more interesting stuff. The Buccaneers are changing uniforms yet again. When I read this, I thought to myself, there is no team more in need of a complete branding overhaul than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Agree, disagree?
I would agree.
They're up there. I'm trying to think if there's someone that might beat them.
The
a complete
Falcons.
Overhaul?
Falcons and Cardinals.
What about Bengals?
The Buccaneers uniforms, the way that they looked, it was one of those things where initially every time you see it, it just doesn't look right. Like the numbers, they just are odd. But after you watch them a little bit more and more, you're like, you get used to it and you're like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Okay.
But if you're just a casual fan, you turn on the Buccaneers game,
it looks
and you're like,
weird.
Gosh, these uniforms are terrible. So yeah, I think they need to get more back to the throwback Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the 2000 version.
What's on tap?
This is What's on Tap with Tom, Jake, and Stacey. So, folks, what's on tap?
Couple of good basketball games. My guys, the Indiana Hoosiers taking on Purdue at 4 o'clock on FS1+. Plus, San Diego at number 3, Gonzaga. I couldn't figure out what channel they're on tonight, though. Maybe somebody can look that up. That's 6 o'clock tonight. When we come back, we'll be getting through more NFL headlines, including a possible landing spot for both Tua and Joe Burrow. 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Rost.
The name of this segment is a little bit misleading when we call it NFL headlines. It's not all headlines. Sometimes it's just topics, you know, like stuff we think of because we're really smart people.
Mm-hmm.
But a topic I've been wanting to ask you guys for the last couple of days, we just haven't gotten to it. The Redskins are meeting with both Tua and Joe Burrow. How should Dwayne Haskins feel if that's the case? To me, that screams, we're going to try to draft one of these two guys, and we're going to try and trade Dwayne Haskins away.
You know what's funny about this situation is it's funny how coaches sometimes they just get caught up in semantics. The reporter asked Ron Rivera, like, are you guys just doing your due diligence? And he's like, well, we're exploring all our options. No, we're not just doing our due diligence. I mean, we're exploring all our options. Yeah, so you're doing you're doing your due diligence. Like, what's the problem with the phrasing of that word?
Well, because he probably wants to light a fire for Haskins. He wants to make Haskins probably feel like you're in jeopardy, so you better step it up. I think any coach always wants everyone to feel like they need to compete all the time.
That may be the case, but this poor kid Haskins has barely played.
And you can't, by the way, blame the dysfunction on Dwayne Haskins.
No!
Right, and Rivera just got there, so those two need to hang out for a little bit. Unless when Rivera was hired, God, I'm talking about Dan Snyder here. I guess anything is possible. When Rivera came in, he may have said, hey, I don't care for Haskins. I want to ship him out of here.
And that's the one thing that's tough with a new coach is a new coach comes in and maybe if the organization's like, no, we put our eggs in this basket, so we're only going to hire someone that's okay with this.
We're only going to hire
someone that wants to roll with Haskins. Or they could have gone for Rivera, who would have gotten a head coaching job, period, with a team this season. So they could have said, well, he's our top target for a new coach, and so
if he wants to meet with Tua, we're going to let him do that
because we trust him.
It's just strange. I mean, Haskins is a young quarterback. Sometimes this type of stuff happens when a quarterback is older, right? I mean, we just saw what Eli Manning went through. There's that point where, I mean, look, Russell Wilson eventually will be in this in this situation where the Seahawks will have to start talking to younger quarterbacks seriously, not just, you know, to be a backup.
It's just a bummer for Haskins, who is in, who's certainly not. I mean, he's so young.
He was, wasn't he just drafted last year?
He was just drafted.
Or 2 years ago.
No, this last year.
Yes.
This last year. He was a rookie. He was a top 10, 15 pick. So,
and you're playing on a bad team.
Yeah, welcome to Josh Rosen's world.
Yeah, I just, I don't think that when it comes down to it that the Redskins are going to go this route, but it's interesting that they're, you know, Ron Rivera is trying to make a point that they are seriously considering this potential option, and I just think that it's really hard for a guy like Dwayne Haskins or Josh Rosen to only have 1 year in a dysfunctional situation and then not really get the opportunity to show what they really can
what
do.
What pick do they have? Do we know offhand?
In Washington?
Two.
Washington?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh.
Well, I thought it was just slightly lower than that.
Plot thickens. Yeah, I thought it was like maybe six.
I thought they had like maybe four.
It also could be a situation where they put more pressure on Miami to say, hey, if you want to trade up one more spot, you gotta give up something.
Ooh, yeah,
for
it
us.
Could
so,
be some.
Could be some gamemanship here.
Some swindling.
Quarterback situations elsewhere. Matt Rhule, new head coach of the Panthers, expects Cam on the roster. I'll add to this story that I heard. I heard Dave Wyman make a great pun the other day out of this.
Did he?
He said that Matt hasn't ruled out.
Now,
that is
a great pun. Great job, Dave Wyman.
Right? You heard that one the other day, didn't you?
Got him.
Do you think Matt Rhule Cam C. Newton on the roster in 2020, huh? I'm just saying this is a space where it's open to creativity. We're in radio. We're supposed to take chances.
Yeah. Stacey, that actually wasn't bad.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah.
It wasn't as good as Rhule and Rhule.
No, he hasn't ruled out Cam on the roster.
It is interesting that you kind of hear the...
I'm a volume shooter.
some land, some don't. I think it's interesting in this situation where there really hasn't been any clarity, right? Like, you hear Matt Rhule talk about it. You hear Tepper talk about it, that they are looking for clarity on Cam Newton's health and his situation. And, you know, Cam has always said that he's going to come back stronger than ever. And so it's just at this point, you know, Stacey, you said this, I think, the other day, that it's at what point of the offseason right now? I mean, it's getting pretty close to OTA time. I mean, you got to be making a decision here pretty quickly as to what you're going to do and roll out next year, because now you need to give your first-year head coach and your new offensive coordinator an opportunity to build an offense around that personnel, whether that's Cam Newton or whether that's another quarterback, because that system's going to be entirely different with Cam Newton as your quarterback.
He's 30 years old in May. Excuse me, he'll be 31 in May.
Same.
Really?
Yeah. May 31st.
You guys are 89ers.
Mm-hmm.
It's my opinion that when healthy, even at age 31, because that's not old for a quarterback, I think he's potentially the most talented, most skilled, most physically skilled player in the league.
I almost want him to be able to go somewhere else, because if Carolina keeps him and then makes him kind of fight for a starting spot, I think another organization would be comfortable immediately having him as their starter once he's healthy. Well, so there's more of a chance of a resurgence there.
But if he's healthy and he's competing for a start, I mean, he's going to win that battle.
But there's a little bit of pride there with teams sometimes.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't see them having to make Cam Newton fight for it that much.
Yeah.
I think with Cam, it's a matter of, could you be in a better team? Because Carolina, at this point in time, I'm not confident in saying that Carolina has what it takes to be a legit playoff contender within their own division, within, you know, the landscape of the NFC. But there are other opportunities out there for him where he could potentially land on a better team. So if I were him, obviously there's ties and loyalty to Carolina. Maybe he feels like Marshawn Lynch, that there's unfinished business to take care of. But if I'm talking about my own selfish desires to go play for a winning playoff team, I would try and sell the fact that I'm not very healthy and try and look for another place to go, like Chicago, like L.A., and some of those other organizations.
Is anybody who gets Tom Brady automatically a playoff contender based on that fact?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to go under the assumption that Tom Brady, not only is he one of the greatest of all time, or he is the greatest of all time, But he is making that decision not just because of the market or wherever he wants to go. It's because he evaluated the team and wholeheartedly believes that they are a playoff contender, a Super Bowl type of contender, and adding him to it just helps ensure that possibility.
By the way, his reps, this is the reason why I bring this up, Tom Brady's reps met with the Raiders, the Chargers, the Colts, and possibly others. All three of those teams are like win-now teams. They are ready to make the playoffs. The Chargers, I would argue, that last year was not Phillip Rivers' fault. They just had a ton of injuries. They could, I mean, they were 12-4 the year before, essentially with the same team. They could have been a playoff team last year. So if they're healthy, I think that's a great place for Brady. Colts with that offensive line, definitely the Raiders. If I were to bet on him going outside of New England.
The Colts.
Yeah?
That's what I would think. Is that what you're going to say?
I was actually going to say Vegas.
Well, I'm just saying, wouldn't it be weird if the Colts got to a Super Bowl with Manning and Brady?
Yes.
It would be,
pretty crazy.
Extremely weird.
And at one point, they had Andrew Luck. He just wasn't able to stay
who
healthy.
Who retired right in the middle of it.
Who retired, but you still would have had just such luck with quarterbacks.
Yeah, those fans can't ever complain about anything because for, what, over 20 years, they had the best quarterback situation in the history of the game.
And yeah. If you add Brady to that mix, that would be so weird. All the animosity, the rivalry that was there, and
yeah.
Then Brady comes and joins the team, that would just be, it would be pretty crazy.
I don't know that I'd be able to cheer him on if I were a Colt fan. That was like the biggest rivalry in the sport.
Yeah.
For a good like 9 years or so. That would be tough.
It would be tough, but I think you'd quickly get over it because you'd be pretty excited the fact that the greatest of all time chose your organization and thinks that it's Super Bowl worthy. I think that speaks volumes. But
I don't know that I want to win that battle.
For entertainment,
Jake.
for entertainment value, I would love to see Tom Brady with John Gruden.
And even if Brady not at his best is still good.
Man, that would be so fun to see John Gruden and Tom Brady interact with each other.
I'm
I just
okay
think that
it.
That would be a very fun, exciting, you know, situation in Vegas. That would be a great rollout for the NFL in terms of, you know, introducing football to
the two
to
of
Las
them
Vegas.
Sitting at the Baccarat table.
Yeah, you know, just when talking some ball.
What's Baccarat?
It's a, I don't think it's a very complicated game, actually, but I don't know how to play it. My father always recommends it for when I go to Vegas, but I don't go often enough.
Baccarat.
So do you just play the slots? You just take your chances on the slot machines?
Not really. I usually go there. I put my luggage in my room, go down to the blackjack table, lose $100 in about 15 minutes, and go take a nap.
That's why I don't gamble. I go take a nap.
I do. And then after that, I wake up and go to the fish show. We sum it up next, 710 ESPN Seattle.
The wait is over.
They're going to wave him in.
It's time to sum it up with Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
Shot clock turned off.
The final word on everything that matters today in sports. Brought to you by Zone In CBD.
Step back!
It's a good thing we don't have a show tomorrow because Stacy's pushing Tom to his limit.
No, I'm not. We were having a good conversation, Tom.
Yeah.
I'll tell you guys what we talked about. We talked about the band you were most into in your youth that was maybe most embarrassing for other people. Like, I was really into Evanescence, which Jake took issue with because he really likes...
Yeah, Evanescence. Like, what's wrong with Evanescence?
I know. It's fine. Like, Curtis was into Hoobastank.
Oh, yeah.
Hoobastank.
I said Nickelback honestly had, like, one or two songs that were okay. If we're all honest with ourselves, we have to admit that.
Yeah, as a whole of every song that they've ever
we
had.
We have to be honest.
Yeah, probably not. But if you're just going to isolate a song or two, yeah.
I mean, not their discography.
You can't hate it, but... So, you know, I mean, there's other ones like, you know, Blink-182. It's not something
that's
that embarrassing.
No, that's
everybody
not embarrassing
loved
at all.
Everybody loved
Everyone likely. And then I asked Tom, well, Tom, how about like a one-hit wonder that you never got tired of? And you said...
Oh, the Spin Doctors.
Two Princes. And I started singing it. I don't see what the problem is.
Well, nothing until you started singing.
What do you mean?
And then you asked Curtis to come in with it. By the way, the reason why we're talking about all this stuff... We have things to give away today. Take it away, Stace.
Yes, we do. Right now, here's your chance to win two tickets to see Korn and Faith No More on August 11th at the White River Amphitheater. Tickets are on sale now at livenation.com, or You can call us 866-979-3776 or 206-421-3776. We're going to take caller number 5. I'm going to read those one more time. 866-979-3776 or 206-421-3776.
I would play some Faith No More, Corn, but I'm afraid that it's not not clean. This is a family station.
How about just Spin Doctors?
No, we're not doing
that. Maybe.
All right.
Francis Nailbeat for all you.
Maybe by the end of the show.
Hey, one of our texters came in with one of the best puns we have had so far
puns?
In terms of, you know, the whole Coach Rule thing
on Cam
Newton.
I like that
puns
is becoming our brand. Mm.
Do you think Coach Rule should go to the mat for Cam Newton? That's a good one.
I'll allow it.
That's, sounds like
that's
he already
strong.
Has gone to the mat for him.
That's pretty strong right there.
I'm not
I
mad
like
at
it.
That.
If you were a coach, a first-year coach, like Ron Rivera isn't a first-year coach, but Matt Rule or somebody like that, who's the one quarterback you would want to start a team with?
As a first, so
right now.
If I could pick any quarterback?
Including those in the draft.
It's easy.
Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's those two guys.
Okay, let me take them out.
Question.
Let me take them out. You're right. Without question. Let's take them out.
Okay.
And let's take out Lamar Jackson.
How about the ones that are feasibly on the market?
Yeah.
Current undraft. Okay. Current free agent veterans.
Like Phillip Rivers.
Right.
We'll put Cam Newton out
okay,
there.
Okay. So would I go with one of these tested? Would I go with Brady or Rivers, or would I go with like someone like Joe Burrow?
Yes.
I think I'd go with, if I have a, I got to go long term. I got to think about my future. I do think getting far into a playoff run as a first-year head coach buys you time. But at the same time.
So who are you picking?
I'm going Joe Burrow.
Okay.
Burrow no matter what. Because if I'm the Raiders, I'm going Tom Brady. If I'm the Bengals, I'm going with Tua.
I like that. And I understand why you're going with Tua. Because Tua is a guy that, one, he's going to come in with the right attitude. He's going to come in with the sense of. One of the things about Tua, I had the opportunity to be at the Elite 11 when he was there and the Nike opening. It's a collection of 160 top athletes from around the entire country. And one of the unique things about Tua Tagovailoa, and this is documented at Alabama, is he is such a dynamic leader. A person, like a real person that everybody loves to gravitate towards. Not in a phony way, not because he's this bold, exciting personality, but that he's just a real, genuine person that you enjoy being around and want to play for. And at that Nike Elite 11, he took a bunch of the kids from South Florida, the Miami kids, who are, they're tough. They're tough to connect with, relate to. They're very hard to in terms of they close everybody off. It's you're either
you're
from
talking
South
about
Florida,
young kids, or you
young
talking
high
about...
school kids.
Okay.
It's about them being together and it's us against the world, that type of mentality. And Tua took those kids and he opened up a Bible study group at night, and he eventually had like 30 kids at that.
Man, maybe
just all on his own. I mean, it's just like it was something that was so unique and different. It's not a religious thing. It's just how he was able to connect people to bring them together.
Well, it's a rare kind of leadership.
And at a place like Cincinnati. You want a place like that. You want a guy who's going to be dynamic in the leadership, and that when they show up day one, you know they're all in, and that you know you can rally around them.
1, 2, before you, what I said now. Da, 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 and go ahead now.
Stacey wore Tom down. He caved.
I'm the one who hit. I'm playing the DJ over here. It's all good.
And it's our Friday.
That's right.
All right, yeah, it's our Friday. Sorry, Mariner baseball tomorrow.
Diamondbacks.
We'll be back with you on Monday, I believe, unless there's something crazy happens.
We will.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Yay! Do, 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 no, 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 no.